Yes. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Blossom and Prove podcast. I am one of your hosts, Regine L. Stroyer. I am the coordinator and founder of the Limited Comics Collective International, and I'm also a writer and publisher at Lockdown Production. And my illustrious, illuminous co-host.
Hey. Hi, I am Ilka Pinheiro. I run shit over at The Ilka Pinheiro. I am a writer, I'm a performer, I'm a shaman, I'm a meditation mentor, and I'm an animal communicator. Yeah, that's the short list of it all. So we're so happy to, as always, be here, have you joining us, and, you know, hold just a little space for to air some things out. I have a question. Are you hearing feedback on your end coming from me?
Not really, no.
Okay. I think it's just the way StreamYard and my device talk. There's always like a little bit of like sure. So I can live with it as long as it's just like me hearing it, that's fine. Yeah, I just wanted to get just, you know, we went, what was it? Mercury went direct on what, the 12th, I think?
Yeah, so we're in the Mercury retrograde shadow.
Yes, the post shadow. Wherein still shenanigans can jump off.
I mean, what does the post shadow usually indicate? I mean, what usually happens during the post shadow?
I mean, it's really hard to tell. Like, it can be more of the same, and it can actually sometimes be even more acute, or the what's the word? I guess manifestation of the thing can feel a little more, even more sort of radical or urgent than it did during the actual retrograde period. Because it's sort of like anything is kind of like picking up its own momentum to really go back in its own orbit. If that makes sense. You know, that is layman's non-astrological term. What do you think? What's your thought on what it is?
I mean, similar to what you just said in terms of, okay, you know, you had this period where these different various things were happening in terms of communication and, you know, looking back on what was. And I think in the shadow is just like sort of a trail off of that, sort of weaning you off of the whirlwind.
It kind of makes me think of you and whirlwind, bless you. It makes me think of this time a couple of years ago when I was spirited away on like a ridiculous work. It was a work trip for me. It was a vacation for the people for whom I was working. And one of the things that they did was they bamboozled me into climbing, like taking this big old hike up the side of the mountain, which is absolutely fine. The issue was we were not offered adequate equipment, right? And so like we had no poles, yes, to come down this fucking like 4,000 whatever escalation mountain. And it felt like all the way down, like going up, I don't know, like going up is, it feels like, yes, you're working your body and all those things. But when it's a situation like that, I enjoy going up more because going down is where I get nervous. Going down is where it's just like, ooh, I could tumble and just tumble down this motherfucker. And you know what I mean? Like,
you can see.
Right, you know?
You can see the drop.
Yeah, and that little thing where it's just like, and this is the thing that really, this is such a visceral thing, but like if you don't have the proper footwear or whatever and your feet, like your toes crunch up against the front of your shoes, that is such a specific torture to me. Like, cause it's such a specific, like it's so specifically like speaks to me about ways in which it's just like, oh, I am not respect. If I don't feel like I'm respecting nature right now, like I feel like I came into nature like inadequately prepared, you know? And nature is like, bitch, I don't know who you thought you was fucking with. So anyway, I say all that to say, the retrograde post shadow feels to me like going down a kind of a steep ass mountain, right?
Where you're like,
I feel like I want to be careful, and I'm almost a Dan of this motherfucker, but let me just step lively. Let me just be early about this. So that is an anecdote that swings back around to, I feel like, what I hope is at least some sort of useful metaphor. You know, I just feel like everything, there's so much, it just feels to me like there's still so much in the energetic saying, keep your ass at home. Like, particularly given the thing you just texted me, what was it, like 10 minutes before we were supposed to get on this call?
Yeah.
Girl, you want to tell them? Tell the people if they don't already know. I feel like most people do.
our amazing and beautiful and wonderful Megan Thee Stallion was shot this past weekend. She was shot a couple of times, and they think, I guess Tory Lorenz, is that how you pronounce his name? Shot her multiple times. And she's fine. Fine as, you know, as much as she can be fine. She went to the hospital, had surgery, and is out. She's recovering at home. She is posting on Instagram. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, but and the thing that is interesting, I mean, you know, as this is technically like breaking news, right? So, I would say not fleeting, but like not particularly foundational. I enjoy the musics, and you know, I like to shake my rumps to them. Mm-hmm. But I don't really like follow, you know, like follow. I don't follow people like that, like famous people like that. but obviously, from the people I do follow on the timeline, their stuff pops up, right? And then you know, you find the stuff out, and I'm just like, I don't really, you know, even that to me feels like. Yeah, that just feels like another message of like, stay in the house. You know, that's not even to say that God for like, obviously things like this can happen in like non-pandemic times, you know, so it's not even, I'm not shying away from the potential speciousness of the connection. And also just stay, just chill. It just feels like this is a year we chill. We just chill.
Outside of anything else that had to do with the situation, and I'm assuming more information will come out. Yeah, that's definitely one of the many messages.
Yes. Well,
that I kind of received from that. But again, like you said, I mean, things can happen at any given point in time. But during the pandemic, things are just really popping off in this exponential way. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly. I know you would let me know.
Yes.
But it seems to like really be like pop. And seriously, just here in New York City, people are getting shot every single day, you know, and that hasn't been the norm for us in a very long time.
Right.
I think you and I had a conversation just privately about the fact that it seems like a lot of things feel very much like going back to the 80s.
Yes.
Or like the late 70s, like the danger that's in the air. And that's not to scare anybody. That's not to, you know, breed fear at all. I think it's about being mindful about who you are and who you aim to be and how you want society to be shaped. Because we definitely want to promote anti-violence, especially when the violence affects marginalized communities. Because again, you know, like Megan is in the entertainment community, but she's also a Black woman. And violence coming in her way in any way, shape, or fashion makes me feel in a sense like, well, that's violence against all of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the greater representation of what violence is. Especially from where it comes from.
Right. I feel like it's like how all the tiny grains of sand are made. Like, it's like the grains of sand, like one grain of sand, and then you have all the grains of sand, and then that's how you have a beach, you know, like that kind of thing. And how, like, in that one grain of sand are all of the, like, particles and elements and shit that make up the beach, you know? Like that kind of thing. Like, it's just like you can look really close to it, and it's just, it's almost like you're just looking at, like, it's like one of those infinite loop things, you know, that trope where it's like, and you're looking in the person's eye, and then their eye again, and then their eye again. Like, it's that. It feels like that. And I'm not even so much, I think part of the nuance, and I don't even know if we would necessarily have enough time in this hour to really get into it, but like, you know, something about like the nuance of violence is really interesting to me. And it makes me think about this thing, which is like, you know, I often wonder about
like the necessity of violence and violence as a tool. Because I mean, I think it is, I think for some of the stuff we're dealing with, like in this country, I feel like this country speaks violence, right? So like, how are we gonna get them to, like, how do we get, do like, do you meet people where they're at? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think the I think it's important to discern the anti-violence that it feels like that the way I interpret what you're saying about anti-violence feels about like the like inside the community. Inter-community? Interstate. No, intra, which is the one that's when it's inside the thing. Inter or intra? I can't remember right now.
I think it's intra.
Intra with a T.
Like, I always think of intranet, like if a company has an intranet.
Right, so it's interstate only the is the thing yeah. that takes you through several states. Intra-community anti-violence, you know? Like whatever your community is, you know what I mean? Whatever your squad is, because I am always like, I don't, like it's my, I mean, you have been with me every step of this journey along with my astrological friends. Where I've been realizing just in the past like few months, all of these revelations about how much Mars there is in my chart and like how much, you know, of that warrior energy that I have, that it's not like, you know, like I'm over here feeling like a dum-dum because I'm just like, why should I be surprised by that? Because I've had a chakra my whole life. You know? So, you know, it's,
yeah.
And so but the microcosmic kind of like, metaphor here for myself is okay. So I have in a lot of ways been like internally violent because there were these like sort of, you know, aspects to my personality and aspects to the way that I'm constructed that are like built for battle. Right.
Yeah.
You know, that are like, okay, you know, like people have said to me, well, you have a revolutionary chart and blah, blah, blah. What does that mean? And part of the recent revelation has been like, okay, so what happens when we just accept that? And then what happens when we turn that, like that martial energy, right, out and direct it? If we are going to direct it externally, how do we direct it externally? What is the intention behind that direction? You know, so like, how do we use that energy, you know, for like, to be in service, right? So that's the thing I'm kind of grappling with. And I think it, at least, again, it might be specious. Today might be a day that a lot of my points of weak motherfuckers deal with it. So it might be.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Because you know it. I'll go on a flight of fancy and lose it. So it feels to me like it's the way that it sort of connects is like with us, and by us, I mean like the Black community, right? Like the wish, there feels like a subtextual wish here that I kind of want to tease out a little bit of, yeah, we're all real fucking bad and it's justified. And how do we, like, what, how much, I guess my wish is for us to cultivate practices where we collectively can really focus all of that so that we don't turn it on each other, right? And we can, like, you know, coalesce it and direct it, you know what I mean? Like, take all the Care Bear stare, you know, and put it toward the shit that created the situations to begin with, you know what I mean? Like, how do you direct the laser beam?
I mean, that's it. Yeah. Go ahead. No, you have all the points. You sure? I'm mindful of a lot of things that you're saying because, yeah, I mean, if we're going to go the astrological way, like, yeah, I'm an Aries. There's fire all up in my charts. Like, I live and breathe Mars.
Yes, yes.
But what I always tell folks, like, if you are going to look at it from that standpoint, or you can just look at it from your own your personality standpoint,
mm-hmm.
you know, there is no war without peace.
Yes, bitch.
Vice versa.
Yes.
And some would probably argue with me, like, no, it can be completely peaceful. I'm like, but the reason why you're working towards peace is because there was a war. There was something chaotic that happened. There's something that brewed, you know, we're Blossom and Brew. Something that brewed up and caused that to happen that you guys are like, okay, no, we can't be fighting like this. This is ridiculous. I'm stressed out. My community is stressed out. We can't go along that vein. So what I have found, and I'm still working through some things myself in regards to this, but what I've found and what has helped me a lot is to channel that energy to fight and use it to help bring balance. I think that's the most important part. It's like yes, peace, but more importantly, balance.
Yes.
It's like, how do you bring in balance? And I just
you know, tell us a little bit about the ways you manifest that.
I just want to say this. I've been thinking about that a lot also because we have our conversation. We talk about that a lot. But also because I just finished rewatching Avatar The Last Airbender. I finished binge watching, you know, all three seasons. And anybody who is into animation, anime, and if you haven't watched Avatar The Last Airbender, please do. I love it. Just the whole premise of the Avatar. But a lot of the things that is discussed within this kids' art cartoon that's really discussing adult themes is about how do you bring about balance. And then they also discuss it more when you get into the next series, The Legend of Korra.
Yes, how, that's what I've yet to see.
That's an interesting one as well. I mean, it's not, there's aspects of it that I'm just like, this is not for kids need to be, TV-14. Especially things, some of the things that happen on early on, there's some of the things like, wow, that's really, like some of the things that happen there, I do still have to sort of kind of digest.
Stay with Avatar though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with that said, even in the context of that series,
right,
it's all about balance and the importance of it and how you use balance to bring about peace and quell violence or disagreements. Or I mean, and that goes into the things that we always talk about in terms of disparity and white toxicity and the patriarchy and misogyny and all that stuff. Like, how do you bring about balance at the same time eradicating these things that have been hurtful and harmful to various communities? And and also I grapple with it because of, you know, Women in Comics Plus International, Wink for short. So when you say Wink, that's what I'm talking about. We just relaunched the membership this week.
Yes, snap it is snapping. Snap.
Oh gosh, a labor of love. A labor of love and intensity. I spent several weeks redoing the website, and some of the members who are amazing and so helpful, can't do much of this stuff without them, you know, helped put together membership plans and put together the applications, and we tweaked it, tweaked some more, and then we just said, okay, the baby's going to be born, so if we got to fix something, we'll fix it. Thank you, and put it out there. But that's what the organization is about. It's about seeking balance, you know, mm-hmm. and making sure that folks have their best chance. And when I say that, I think of something my mother had said a while back, where she was just like, you know, you want to give something your best chance. Give it their best chance. And that's what you want. You want to give folks their best chance. And in order to do that, you do have to work on removing certain elements. And that includes, that goes back to what we were discussing about violence. You know, mm-hmm. when we talk about white toxicity and misogyny and patriarchy and racism, homophobia, transphobia, all of that is violence. All of that is violence in whatever way, shape, or fashion, and comes of physical violence, emotional violence, mental violence. It's like, how can we remove that and bring in balance, bring in peace? And so, I was grappling with a lot of that for mm-hmm. The membership, but it's also something that we grapple with all the time, and we're kind of used mm-hmm. to it. And for the way we're sort of putting out what balance is like, okay, here we are, a group of marginalized folks that have this organization, and we've always been open to other folks, but how we've sort of, and the reason I'm laughing is something, I'm just thinking of some of the things that members in over the years have said, it's just like, basically, like, you set a precedent. Like, this is who we are, this is what we do. We don't just say it, we do it. It's like, you go to an event of ours and you see a bunch of marginalized folks.
Right.
And yes, you also see white folks there as well. But you see us owning our space and also being welcoming in our space and making it very clear with our actions and making it very clear with our codes of conduct, making very clear when we're on panels and we're talking to folks, you know, representing ourselves as individuals, but also the organization, and saying like, look, like we don't abide by this type of behavior. This behavior is not conducive because of X, Y, and Z. And if we have to keep explaining it to you, you're not, and you're never going to get it. And you don't have to worry about being around us. You know, it's you put your foot down, and I've been keeping that in mind, definitely for the relaunch, because we do have so many people who are interested in being members, and we do have an application. We have a very verification process. Like, truly, we're not fucking around. You know, we're very serious, and I say that candidly and explicitly. Like, we are very mindful of who we allow in the space. Yes. And because of the hurt and harm that has come to marginalized people.
Yes.
And we have to be protective of our space. We have to be. We have to be protective, especially if we're allowing you to be in it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, yo, everybody can get this healing. We ain't against y'all getting the healing, but what we're against is you weaponizing that healing against us. Like, yes. No. So I think that's a part of the process of putting in ground rules and making it very clear. Like, this is what is acceptable to us as a community, and this is what's unacceptable. And bringing it home and making sure people know, like, look, there's consequences to your behavior. If it's not conducive for the group, if it's not conducive for the whole, this is what the consequences are.
Right. You know, I mean, I love, yes. And that's the thing. See, that's the thing. So you just saying that in that way, you know, it's so interesting to me, because I've also heard some of the stories of people who have like pushed back even on that, you know, and it's, like, to me, I'm just like, but that's no different. Well, it is quite different, but on its face, in a lot of ways, it's no different than, like, country clubs.
I was thinking about that today.
You know? And then once you kind of get past...
Or cigar clubs, the old cigar clubs, old gentlemen's clubs.
Right. It was just like, you all had a code of conduct. You had these things. You had stuff. It wasn't... You had things that were, weren't permissible. It's just that the things that weren't permissible for you were... about things that people couldn't control about themselves. You know, like you, women in comics, is using, you know, similar templates to actually open up, right, and be expansive, you know, and create harm reduced, you know, harm absent places, or like places that hold space for safety, right, and thriving and consent. Yes. Yes. And so it's so fascinating, because it's just like, how do we rework those, like, some of those institutional devices, right? So I find that really, that just sort of like dawned on me when you said it. I was like, yeah. And then how, you know, it's just like, okay, well, you mad then, because we reworked, wow, that's real hard to say right now. your institutional devices, like, you mad about it, you know? That's fascinating to me. And also, I just want to touch on something you were saying before about violence. I feel like another piece of nuance that I'm sort of kind of nibbling on is, you know, by nature is violent, right? Like, life is violent. Yes.
Yeah.
And so, because I feel like people, I don't even think nobody listening to us, but maybe someday someone will, you know, you've heard of sea lioning, right? The thing that argument, it's like a style of argument that people will come. It's a bad faith argument. You've seen it. You've probably experienced it, even if you've never called it by that name. It's when you post something and someone comes in and they're like, but I just don't understand why, blah, blah, blah. And then they just kind of, it's a bunch of bad faith questions.
Like, yes, yes. I didn't know that's what it was called.
You're just like, where you're like, this is so dumb. Like, but they frame it in such a way that it seems like they're sincerely wanting to engage and learn, but it's a psychological torture tactic. I can't, why? Hold on. Let me just do some things with my throat chakra real quick, because the brain is working.
And the throat feels fine, but the mouth is water.
Look at the water. I was just going to comment real quick on that. Like, absolutely, I've seen that. I didn't know that's what it meant. And a few times, I know, you know, I'm a big retweeter on Twitter. And
Love a retweet.
Sometimes one of my followers will sort of question something that I retweeted, and I do not answer back. I let the person who shared what they shared, said what they said, respond. And 9 times out of 10, they do. And they sort of say, usually, did I stutter? That's the type of folks I follow. I don't know about anybody else. Because that's harmful. But it usually is coming from a place of defense. Like, you read something and you decided, well, I'm saying decided, but yeah, you decided to get defensive. It struck a nerve. It struck a nerve. So you now must feel the need to engage with somebody because this struck a nerve in you. And as opposed to you looking at yourself and the things that you've done and reviewing it, you decided to get in your feelings and make this sentiment about you when it didn't need to be.
I mean, I think that's actually a really generous assessment of those people.
And you always tell me I'm generous.
I think those people, you call me generous. You're so generous, I would never. And I'm just like, ugh, these motherfuckers. And then we flip it. I mean, yeah, no, I feel like someone who's coming in and doing that, I don't know, I don't think there's anything sincere about that. You know, including their, like, I don't necessarily know if a person who would resort to that sort of tactic, their feelings got hurt a long time ago, and they decided that, like, this was they get whatever kicks or jollies out of derailing conversations.
And I mean, there's that too. You know, there is that too.
Yeah. Well, that actually leads me to, so there's this, you know, this, there's, I know they don't, it doesn't really happen as much anymore. But there was a time where when I first started, because I feel like I always did, but maybe there was an uptick. Yeah, there was probably an uptick. There was. When I was still on Facebook, I know what it was. When we really started to see all of the footage of the police brutality, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I call that like my, you know, Ilka Shares the Basics time, because there was like maybe a 3-year period where a lot of my Facebook page was devoted to be like, okay, here's some real foundational, like, anti-racist shit that y'all could read. And I would post things and there would be some sort of, you know, kind of like personally linking anecdote to it. And I remember one really early on where I said something and like I self-identified in the commentary of whatever I was posting as black. And this man that I knew through someone about whom I care deeply, the man I never really gave a shit about. It's the kind of thing where like somebody you care about cares real deeply about somebody, but like you and that person that your mutual person cares about, y'all don't really care about each other, uh-huh. But you're friendly. So he did this thing where he came and he goes, you know, the comment was like, oh my God, are you black? Or like, oh my God, I didn't know you were black. Like that kind of thing where it's just like, why did you even type that? Like, why?
Wow.
Why did you waste the code? Like, I feel like the zeros and ones that made up that code were like, fucking this fucking guy. Jesus. Really? This is what we died for? Like, this is our life? To be this? Like, we have to live here? Is this dumb fucking joke from this guy? Like, this is our digital life, you know? So, like, sorry to that code. But I say that, you know? But it's like that kind of thing. So, and that to me, like, that is what I think of when I think of your kind of pondering about it, like the defense, you know, and the ways in which like that defense shows up in like the defense of whiteness or the when, like, I feel like what it is like a black person, right? / person of non-black person of color will assert, you know, will assert something about their experience as it is colored by their identity, like by their racial identity, right?
Yeah.
And it's fascinating to, after having spent decades moving through, witnessing, surviving whiteness, the quickness to the defense, the quickness to the, like, even when the assertion of your experience has nothing to do with the arbiter, like, of the whiteness in the moment, right? So the person who happens to be, like, white or defending whiteness, you know, like, they become this arbiter of toxic whiteness, right? So the thing that you could be asserting about your identity may have nothing to do with them, and it just feels like, just, again, whatever their response to your assertion is, because of how entrenched this shit is on a cellular level, they get to, you know, this thing where they, like, take up space and center themselves and get upset and demand absolution. Like, they demand for the harmed person of color, the harmed black person, to, like, clear them of the transgression. And then when it doesn't happen, what do? They get mad. They withdraw their support. You get fired, you know?
Well, you know, I've also experienced that with cis men.
Yeah.
So there's misogynist and racist roots.
Yes.
Within that, you know.
Yes. Well, that's what when I say whiteness, that's what I'm
yeah, no, I know. Well, I know.
My umbrella term for all the ists.
I see you.
Because, you know, listen, it saves time. Motherfuckers, who has time? Anyway, hold on. I want to switch gears because I want to talk about some of the other hot shit we got going on.
Well, you know, I wanted you to talk about your newsletter because a lot of things that you were saying touches upon the newsletter that you sent out this week.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Well, you know, I hadn't written a newsletter in since April because, you know, Kitty was tired. I was tired, and I was basically, you know, under psychological op torture, and, like,
absolutely,
a lot of us were, you know what I mean? And,
yeah,
like, fucked up, and things were crazy, and I felt scrambled, you know? Even writing this one, like, as I said in the newsletter, it was a wrench, you know, like, sitting down and doing it. And I ended up just sort of, like, cranking it out on a night that I was experiencing insomnia. And I was just like, well, what is just the closest thing to the, like, unvarnished truth? Like, how can I say the thing that is true and also not, you know, just live in this place of, like, burn it all to the fucking ground, you know? Cause how is that really helpful, you know? So, it was sort of a lament. I'm not sure. Like, I just feel like it's like, hey, y'all, times is tough and this is what's going on. And I don't really know what to tell you. And I feel really split. Like, my human self feels, you know, sometimes like she's very separate from, you know, like, divine messenger self, looking around, and I feel like I kind of vacillate between those two places. And that's sort of what I talked about in the newsletter, you know, just like part, like, depending on how you come at the being you perceive as Ilka, like, you know, like, depending on how one comes at me, like, I can't guarantee who you're going to get, you know, because it feels like prior to this, you know, in the before four, there was already so much extra that was asked of black people, women in particular, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just like in all of our interactions, and this thing of, you know, well, like, be soft and, like, oh, angry, you know, like this whole thing, and the way that we have to craft fucking everything about ourselves, craft the way we respond to stuff, you know, and even in those, like, little moments where, even when we do feel like we're crafting the thing, because, like, you know, if again, the crafting, whatever the response is, if that is perceived as, like, an assertion of the danger, you know, of the dangerous identity, right? Because
yeah,
it's like, why do, you know, non-black people, why do non-black people feel the way, like, get so, why is there a history of that? Like, why
you
is
know.
Your story? No, I know. Of course I know. But that's what I mean, you know, it's like that kind of thing. This thing, whatever. So I say all that to say, that's kind of the stuff that some of the stuff that the newsletter touched on. And I was talking to a friend of mine She's Italian. She's intellectually marginalized. Like, she thinks she and her family, to look at them and to hear the way they think, they stand out. You know, okay. So they're like, so much so that even within their family, they're like, wow, we are different than, okay, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was having a conversation with her about the newsletter because, wait, this is actually a beautiful segue. I'm actually going to tell you way more about my wonderful friend in a moment. I had shared with her a preview of the newsletter because we are doing a workshop together that's actually coming up this weekend, and I'll get to that in a second, pluggity plug plugs. And I said, you know, I'm so curious to see about how many people I'm going to lose from this one. And she was just like, well, fuck them if they go. And I was like, you're damn right. And it was so fascinating to me because two people unsubscribed. One of them was a woman who didn't surprise me at all. And the other one was a woman who, if we're being perfectly honest, forgot had even signed up. Like, she is someone that I don't think about ever being alive unless she's right in my face.
Wow.
I'm going to just go ahead and say that.
You got me with all these wows today.
I mean, Regine knows this woman. Would you say that isn't true for you too?
I mean, if it's the person that I'm thinking of, I mean, probably.
Yeah.
Probably. I would have to be reminded, like, oh yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, there are other people in my life with whom I'm not particularly close where I think about them, you know, like of my own, you know, like intellectual initiative. This is just mm-hmm. someone that's like, I literally forget that they are a person in the world until they're in front of me mm-hmm. or there's something, you know, and I'm like, oh, right. So at any rate, and part of the reason that I think that my brain or system responds to this person in this way is because she is so, she has a confrontational existence. Like, her personhood is confrontational. She's the sort of person, she speaks really fast, she never takes a breath, and, you know, like, her cadences are, like, really stressful, and, like, just listening to her talk, it just gives me agita. She also has this habit of exotifying women of color. She has a really irritating habit of exotifying me, and as I was telling Regine before we got on the line, so I say all that to say, I didn't even realize this woman had been signed up for my newsletter. Until she unsubscribed. She unsubscribed to the newsletter, and I just cackled and, you know, immediately texted Regine. I was like, so-and-so unsubscribed, and Regine was like, wow! And I was like, agreed, because the thing is, and I was like, you know what, I hope she keeps that same energy the next time I see her, because every time I saw this woman, like, the metaphor, what did I say? I was just like, oh, right, like, you know, what was it? It was genius, about her head up my butt.
I forget. I'm Me probably too. Busy laughing.
I mean, yeah. Something. I channeled some pettiness about her, which I hope she keeps that same energy the next time I see her, instead of, you know, devoting so much time to really trying to get her head up my entire ass. Like, it's so much with this woman. And that's the thing. Like, it was never sincere. You know, like, she's the sort where, like, I would just be living my life in this place, in this mutual place from which we all know each other. You know, like, going into a room, doing a thing, whatever, working sometimes. And she would come with all of this, like, breathless, needy, demanding energy. You know, like, oh, my God, I want to be just like you when I grow up. Like, bitch, you 43. What? Like, when you grow up, what is this weird? Why are you positioning me? Why are you kind of, like, coercing me energetically, you know, behaviorally, psychologically, into this position where, like, you are also then forcing an infantilization? Like, it's just, it's very complex and extremely bizarre. And because all of that is going on, like, whenever, again, I am confronted with this woman, as soon as she's out of my, like, attentional sphere, I'm just like, yeah, drop that shit, because it's so much work. Yeah. I'm just like, I should be paid to just be in the room with you. Like, that's how much you demand, you know? And to see her unsubscribe, I was just like, A, good riddance, and B, never, like, let this, like, unsubscribe from my life. Like, unsubscribe from knowing me, because, like, you know, it's just like, no. You know, and it's just, it's that same thing of, like, if there's any assertion, you know, of truth, right? And how that truth relates to, fuck it, like, identity politics, like, let's just call it that, right? This, like, defense, and how the defense becomes an attack. And then that's, like, another fucking thing that the marginalized person has to contend with. you know? And it's what leads me to this thing where it's like, you can't be in the room with them when they're dismantling that shit. And I found this, I don't know if you saw this on my stories, but I saw this article or story in The Cut or something. I found it on Twitter. And it was about this this friend pair, a black woman, white woman. And it basically was just like, yeah, our interracial friendship has a whole bunch of shit about that's fucked up. You know? And it's just like, we love each other and these are things that are fucked up. And one of the things they talked about was like this trap door moment, you know, where it's like, just whatever, you could just kind of be going along in whatever the situation is, you know, like party, blah, 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 blah. And then some seemingly to the dominantly cultured person, right? Like it seems innocuous to them, but it feels racialized to the, you know, to the marginalized person in the midst. Yes. And then if the marginalized person asserts, right, that they feel harmed or transgressed upon, it's this thing where like, the white friend is like, perhaps maybe you're overreacting. And then it becomes this trapdoor moment where the marginalized person, in this case, the black person, in this case, me, has to immediately then reevaluate the situation. And I read that shit and I was like, it me, this is a mirror. This is my life. And I was like, oh. And it felt like such a community. Cause I was like, okay. This is how that shit goes. And I posted that shit, and I can't tell you how many people have been in my DMs being like, oh my God, yes, oh my God, yeah, oh my God, this thing. And I'm like, all right, okay. So if this is that common thing with those of us, yes, who are on the margins, who like scoot in toward the middle for whatever goddamn reason, right? We gotta start looking at that. Like the white folks gotta fucking start looking at that. Like you gotta look at, you know, it's like we tell you to believe black people and you're just like, oh my God, there go the black people again. Even their complaining is so cool. Yeah. Like, oh, like even the way that they, you know, like demand be treated like humans is so fresh, you know? Like, you know, I mean, that part of it, like, you know, it's just like we create culture, you know? Everybody want to be a nigga, but don't nobody want to be a nigga. Come on. I saw some shit yesterday with these rappers in Thailand, Thai rappers. Mm-hmm. In this little video, and girl, when I tell you, I was like, the cadences, the hair, like the main sitting had done that thing, you know, that texture thing that they do with the pipe cleaners. Have you seen that?
Yes.
He had that shit going
around for years.
Yeah. And I was like, suck my dick. You better suck my whole dick right now, because what are you doing? Like,
facts. I can't say nah.
Hey, give us our flowers. Shit. And it even like, and again, going back to this thing where it's like the microcosm, you know, the eye looking at the eye, you know, even in my work and even in your work. And like, I think you could ask any yes woman, but damn it, black woman, because, you know, we got that intersection shit, you know, the amount of times where it just feels like it's so commonplace. It's so habituated for non-black people. Right, to just like demand from us. I have a client who refuses to just go book a session. Every time she wants a session, it's, I'm gonna jump into your personal emails. Do you have space on this date, bitch? That I don't pay for this website for you to not go and look at when my availability is. And I barely know this woman. And it's this like presumed familiarity, this unearned familiarity, because we're just like moving through the world with manners and courtesy, you know?
Yeah.
And because they're so conditioned to, oh, this black person, because of the lack of empathy, because of the epigenetic markers, right?
Yes.
It becomes, okay, like some deep fucking cellular part of me sees a black person and I am simultaneously, like completely unconsciously, infantilized by whatever conditioning I'm working with, and or like put into this place of like, what is this black person going to do for me? Their job is to do for me. Their job is to make my life easier. So even if the black person is standing in front of me and saying, no, that is not my job,
this like the way they ignore that and will continue to just drill this, do for me, serve me, serve me, serve me, and just obliterating the boundaries. It's fascinating. So I say all that to say,
let it out.
It's just the study of, you know, collective character is unbelievable. So, just some of the things that are coming up for me. in pandemic time, that's what we're talking about with the newsletter. And I will say, you know, on some of the other things that are coming up for me during pandemic time are really kind of mind-blowing healing abilities. And as I was telling a friend of mine who lives in Norway, we were emailing, you know, I'm doing my best to not feel away about the fact that they are burgeoning, like, due to, you know, rising fascism, right? And, like, genocide. And then I thought to myself, but you know what? Isn't that always kind of how it goes?
It is.
You know, like, it's just like, okay.
Unfortunately.
Well, yeah, like, that's how it goes. The superpowers come out, you know, when shit is not cozy.
Yeah.
So I've been really grateful for that. And I've been really grateful for the various avenues that I have been offered to be able to share those things. So, like, I've been teaching a lot of meditation. And, you know, I taught a class last night, and Regine came to the class, and you know, let me not even lie, Regine is one of my greatest supporters. Comes to the things, does the stuff, shares my whatnot. Family, squad in this bitch. But I say all that to say, like, I so appreciate, you know, your consistency with it, because, like, yes, like, we both get a benefit. One of the benefits that I really appreciate the most is how, like, you have just really been consistently someone who, like, has reflected, you know, like, as I'm taking the babiest of steps, like, deeper into entrepreneurial life, you know, like, I just really appreciate you. I really appreciate you. I appreciate so many Black women and, you know, a handful of non-Black women. I'm going to be real honest, a small handful. But so many Black women who really, you know, just like, hey, this thing, I got this offer. This feels like a scam. Girl, that's a scam. Okay. You know, like, that class was great. I wish we could. Yes. Okay. You know, like, will you look at the application, and, like, let's go over it over phone, you know, like, okay. And so just the ways in which I think, the quickening of this, battle, you know what I mean? Has really brought up clarity of support, you know, and where, like, I feel very clear right now about who my squad is and, like, who is in the tip crew, you know? So that's something for which I'm very grateful. And so that segues me into, that's what I realized that I'm, one of the things that I'm learning as we are in the middle of this year, I think, yeah, July 15th, we're in the, I think this might be pretty smack dab.
Black day, might as well be.
Yeah, the booty field. Yeah, girl, I told you the Fed took my money that they said is theirs with the quickness. I woke up this morning, it was gone. I was like, okay, don't say shit to me until next year. Don't say shit to me like that. Let me just get you your, you know, spoils.
Get it out of the way. Yeah.
And keep minding my business. But at any rate, so we're at the midpoint, and the lovely friend of mine, her name is Jenny Weaver, and she is actually one of the ladies who runs a feminine movement studio in Nashville, Tennessee called The Love Shack Nashville. My friend Jenny is a wonderful musician, a really genius musician. She writes protest songs, and I love her so much. I love her like I love you. Plus like 25 years. So, at any rate, so she, among all the other things she is a very, very gifted feng shui practitioner. And every year for the past couple of years, she has done a class where she will offer us some insight about the animal and the lunar new year, the animal of the lunar new year. So this upcoming Sunday, July 19th, from 3 to 5 p.m., that's Central Time, so that's going to be 4 to 6 East Coast time, and then do the math for yourself other places. on Zoom, we are going to be hosting Hindsight 2020. Hindsight, here we are in the middle of the year of the Metal Rat. The Metal Rat, very briefly, to just really wet your whistle about some of the stuff that Jenny will talk about in this class and talked about at the beginning of the year, is, you know, the Rat's message is like, what's essential? What's necessary? Cut away all your bullshit, you know? Use your cunning to live a comfortable life. The other things, like some of the other things that rats talk about are, you know, like the rat race, you know, what are we learning about capitalism, right? Rats bring plagues, like historically, you know, rats have been blamed to bring plagues, right? So there's some stuff. The rat is really prevalent. I don't think, you know, I mean, I feel like, you know, I clearly,
Well, how can folks sign up?
Folks can sign up. Thank you. How can they sign up? Oh, you can go to here. You know what? What if I put the link in the chat box? Is that not?
Yeah, you can put it in the chat box and I'll put it on the screen.
Thank you. Oh my God, you're so smart. Okay, there we go. So it's going to be.
You put it in the private chat.
Oh, where's?
No problem. I got it. I got this. Don't worry about it.
Oh, live comments. Is that where I'm putting it?
Yeah. Don't worry about it. I got it.
Won't let me, Mama. That's why.
I got it. Won't let me.
I have no ability to paste it into there. I don't know why. Anyway, at any rate, so thank you, dear. So we'll be doing that this Sunday. It's 2 hours. We'll be learning things, and then nice, and then there will be. And then there will be a 9-day follow-up. So what that means is that for 9 days, you will receive a very brief meditation. that's where I come in. So Genius Jenny will be giving you the goods on the rat. And actually, she'll be talking a little bit about the year of the Earth Pig, which was 2019, and how the pig prepared us for what is happening right now. And I will be there just sort of like opening some space and opening some portals, and Jenny will then teach us. And then after we're done, everyone will receive a copy of the Bagua map. And if you don't know what that is, you should definitely come to the class because it really helps us navigate feng shui. So you will receive that, and then you will receive, like, no longer than 10 minutes. You'll have a meditation every day that relates to areas in your house, that relates to how those areas in your house and on the Bagua mat relate to areas of your body. So you will have a meditation that you can go to that area of your house, for example, or, you know, concentrate on that area of your body while you do this visioning meditation. So it'll be a bunch of little mini journeys. So I feel like it's going to be really nice. And also, it's only $20.20.
Cute.
Yeah, so come join us. I think it's going to be, I feel real good about it. You know, Jenny and I have been creating good shit together for quite some time now, and I don't see us stopping at any point soon. So join us. Yeah. So that's what I got popping. Still doing our IG led meditations, still offering the love and the time of Corona sessions.
And that's on your website, the love and time of Corona.
If you follow me on Instagram at theilkapanero.com, that's T like, Thomas Jefferson. H like Harriet Tubman, E like Evers, Medgar, I like Island, L like Love, K like Kitchen, A like Apple, P like Peter, I like Island, N like Nancy, H-E-I-R-O. That's me on the Instagrams. I have a link to there. Everything you could possibly want will be there from me. Well, no, everything I'm willing to give you, you can Yeah, so that's what's up. You know, we also do IG live meditations and working out some little Zoom meditations. So I'm just, you know, experimenting with different avenues to share the whatnot. So that's what's up. That's what's going on there.
All right, awesome. That's awesome. And also, if people if you have your screen up and you can see our name tags and so forth, you can also see that Ilka's tag is the Ilka Panero. So that's her at on everything.
Everything.
So you'll be
learn my first name, learn my last name, throw the article in.
And pretty easy to find. But also for the Love Shack, I posted the website on the screen, but I noticed that part of it was cut off. But definitely look up just the Love Shack Nashville.
Yeah, the Love Shack Nashville. Yes.
And you'll be able to find it for anybody who had any difficulty with that. But I see that we posted it on YouTube and Twitter, so it probably has come up. So definitely click the link. If it came out whole, I hope.
But what? It's also, I'm actually going to add it to my link tree right now. So if you go and you check out my Jiminy Jams in like 15 or so minutes, you'll be able to climb the tree and get to it there.
Well, quick question. Are you going to be doing...
Say what?
No, sorry, I just wanted to ask you really quickly. Are you going to continuously do classes with the Love Shack? Is this something that's a regular thing?
You know what? Thank you for setting that up. It is. It is, actually. I have, in the before four, I would travel down to Nashville and hold in-person classes in their dance space. And those are beautiful. So they actually do lots of things. Like, they have sound baths and things like that. They're a great resource. If any ladies from Nashville are hearing this, check them out. Come correct. Don't make me have to come find you because you brought stress to my friend. yeah, so we will most likely, I'm sure we will be doing more. This just happens to be our first online workshop together, and I think it's our fourth total.
It's a feminine movement space. So is it cis and trans women only, or is it open to others?
I think for the, you know what, I would say, I'm not going to speak for them. I have a very keen idea, and also things I believe may have changed due to Zoom. So
okay,
I would direct people to them for that.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Yes. I will say, though, that, you know, and I'm purposely putting this out here to just kind of nudge the energy in the direction that I prefer. The class that I'm teaching at S Factor New York is not quite yet, but imminently will become open to all genders. We've been pushing for that for like, what, 5 years or some shit?
Yeah, we have.
So I'm just like, yo, it's a meditation class. Like, it's a meditation class and it's online. Let the people fucking come take the class. Come on. So, yeah, so we're pushing for that. So please, please, please keep it locked there. If and when that happens, there will be an announcement made. In the meantime, you know what? Just come find my meditations, which are like my private or the TIP meditations that aren't in tandem with any other businesses, because everybody can come. I don't care. I don't really care how you identify. I mean, I care how you identify, but, you know, I don't. Just show up. Like, all I really care about is, are you willing to access your critical thinking? You know, are you willing to live in the wonderment of your birthright intuitive abilities? And are you willing to use them, you know, are you willing to direct your powers toward collective liberation? That's what I give a shit about. And can you dance? You know, I like it. That's one of the criteria. I need you to be able to dance.
Okay.
Yeah. Be anti-racist, be willing to sparkle, and, you know, be able to boogie, man. Cut a rug and we good. I'll find a way to work with you. I'll find a way to work with you and be nice to animals. I would say that those are my, you know, top ones. Even if you eat them, you can still be nice to them and eat them.
True.
That's my spiel.
True. So, you know, we're wrapping up, but I'm going to just quickly say that, yes, the WINC membership is live. You can go to the website, www.womenincomicscollective.org. The membership is open to all. You just have to know how to act.
Is it on your
respectful?
Is it on your link tree as well? Can people get to the site that way?
Well, if you're on Twitter, I mean, I've been tweeting it a lot. But you can also go to @WomenInComicsNY, and it's there. If you go to Instagram @WINCNYC, and click the link there, it'll take you straight to the website. And fill out an application. Let us know who you are.
Yes.
What you care about, how you feel about the community. Tell us about how you're unraveling your privilege.
Ooh!
Or whatever privilege you possibly access. Yes, that question is on the application. When
yes,
I said we're not messing around.
I know it is, because we reviewed it together.
because we are in this together.
Yes, a few people reviewed it and they're like, yo, this is a dissertation.
No, who said that?
No, someone who did fill it out. They're like, look, the first person that filled it out did. They're like, look, I did my homeworks. I did it. Like, I'm not playing. Y'all not playing, so I'm not playing. So that sets a precedent. You know, when you let people know what your criteria is, what you stand for, who you're about. You know, we have a Wink manifesto up there as about. It's like, yeah, this is what we're about. This is who we've always been about. And there was a moment where I did consider like changing the Wink name, but we've been Wink for so long. But what the members have spoken about, and again, we have members from all different backgrounds, a spectrum of genders and races, specifically folks of color. And their sentiment sort of was that Wink sort of basically honors the women of color and the queer folks, specifically the queer women that helped put this organization together. The first eight women who started this org. So they're like, let's keep it as it is. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Let's keep it as it is. So, because, you know, I'm mindful. And also because, they brought this to my attention. They're like, look, we've always walked the walk and talked the talk. We've shown, you know, we've shown who we are.
Mm.
And people lead by example. They see what you do. You know what we're about. If you've been to our things, if you've heard of us, looked us up online, found a bunch of articles about us, you know who we are and what we do and what is allowed in our space and what is. So. You also got to walk the walk, not just put a slap a label on something. You really have to.
Yes.
It's great to do that. You know, it's great to do that, especially if you're first starting out. But it is highly important that you walk the walk, talk the talk. So there are other places that look nice on the outside, but you won't catch me over there. I mean, seriously, that's just, you know, I'm being a, you know. I'm not purposely being cagey, but that's just in general within my life. Like, there's certain places that are like, oh, that looks really nice. Nope.
I understand. I learned the hard way that glitters is not gold. Ooh, wait. Remember that song?
Yes.
You remember that song?
Who was that by? I forget.
Oh, I can't remember, but I'm going to look it up. It was like one of those three. I want to say it was one of those three initial singers, girl groups.
Okay.
Right? Hold on.
I probably.
Yeah, let's wrap it up and then I'll do some research and we'll talk about it privately.
Okay. So we're closing out, y'all, but if you want to listen to past episodes, check out our Spotify channel, Blossom and Brew. We're also on Podbean, Blossom and Brew, and this episode, if you came in a little late, and you want to hear the beginnings and the rest of it, this episode will be up later today. So take care and be well, y'all.
Yes, bye. Baby. Keep it up. Mwah. Bye.